Welcome to the Armour Men's Health Hour with Dr. Mystery and Donna Lee.
Hello and welcome to the Armour Men's Health Hour. I'm Dr. Mystery, your host, here with my certifiable co-host.
No, I'm board certified co-host.
Award-winning,
certifiable co-host,
Donna Lee.
That's right. Thank you for having me back and all of my awards and accolades.
This is a men's health show. I'm a board certified urologist. And for those of you that are interested in listening to us off the radio, we also have a podcast.
We do. It's everywhere. iTunes, Spotify, Buzzsprout, SoundCloud. I just like saying those.
We are terrible at marketing the thing properly.
Absolutely. And you said Alexa. They can find us on Alexa.
Alexa,
at home.
That's right.
Okay, when they're completely bored.
She's probably listening right now, as a matter of fact. So, you know what's an interesting thing about being a doctor, Donna?
So many things, but do tell.
So, you go through medical school, you go through this intense training, 4 years of learning everything about the human body, and the moment you pick a specialty, you just forget about all that other stuff.
It's not interesting
anymore.
Yeah,
like people just stop caring. Like if you go to an orthopedic surgeon and you ask him about his
urology
type thing, I was going to say it, but we're on Saturday now.
Right?
So he'll look at you completely dumbfounded, even though he's smart and educated and knows everything. But you just kind of get this tendency. And what I recognized, especially over years of practice, is that the body is all connected. We have an inherent sense that what happens in one part of the body is going to affect another part. What happens in nutrition and physical fitness affects another part.
I see where this is going.
You see? And there's no other disease process that I deal with outside of nutrition, general nutrition, that is more of a connection that you don't think is natural than urology and obstructive sleep apnea.
Right.
And so those of you that have listened to the show know that we do a lot of obstructive sleep apnea testing in our practice as part of a conjunction for people with low testosterone or a number of other things, especially our pre-surgery patients. And I thought what we would do is have a special guest today, and that is our partner. I'm going to welcome Brandon Hedgecock, DDS, today.
Thank you. Thank
you. Welcome.
Thanks a lot for joining us today, Brandon.
Hey, happy to be here.
Now, I heard his commercials.
Yeah, KLBJ listeners are going to know. And I think Sam and Ed in the
Sam.
Morning.
It's Don Pryor.
Yeah.
Todd and Don. Welcome, 1996.
Welcome, 1996. Yeah. So you're not a sponsor of this show. You're a partner of our practice, though. And
correct.
What's the name of your company?
So we've got Sleep Better Austin.
And that's the one that we use.
And then and then Austin Sleep Solutions as well is the one you guys use.
That's right. A lot of people may not immediately put together why they're going to get tested for obstructive sleep apnea and urology. And I thought what we would talk about are some of the barriers that patients put forth on getting tested. I also want to talk about how in medicine we are taught to have a solution for a disease process. You have disease A, I have solution B. And then a lot of times doctors, they just, their mind just stops right there. And insurance companies and the government and quality people are now understanding it's just as important to make sure people are doing treatment B and following through, not just having an answer for them, because we're not a Jeopardy contest. We're not here to find out what you have and give you a solution. We need to make sure you're following through, right?
Absolutely. And I mean, this happens all across medicine. It's not just sleep apnea. I mean, if you give a patient a medication to take for high blood pressure or something like that, what if that medication doesn't work? Or what if they don't take that medication?
Because it causes a side effect.
Side effects or something like that. There's got to be other solutions.
In medicine, the government is actually going to be rating us doctors on how well patients are complying with the treatment. And a lot of doctors complain. They say, well, that's not our problem. It's not our fault that patients aren't taking meds. And I would say to those doctors, it is. Because we have to be able to convince them that it's in their best interest and then follow up appropriately to find a treatment that suits them. And if there are going to be uncompliant patients, then that's fine, but you should try your best to try to get people to accommodate their treatments. And with sleep apnea, I think that where you and I play a big role is helping patients kind of fulfill. So why don't you tell me, how do you describe what sleep apnea is to patients?
You know, we talk to patients and we simplify it as much as possible. We have a hose, a garden hose, that goes from our nose and our mouth to our lungs. And the sole purpose of that hose is to get air and oxygen from the environment to our lungs for gas exchange so that our body gets the oxygen that it needs. And when you have sleep apnea, you essentially have a kink in your hose. Air is not getting through. And air is not getting through because, typically speaking, the airway is collapsing, the tongue is relaxing, the muscles around the throat are relaxing, and collapsing at night when you're in your sleeping. And so it's blocking the passage and it's kinking the hose. And so from a solution standpoint, it's how do we unkink the hose? And that's what we say to patients.
And so going along with that, I try to explain to patients also, your oxygenation drops during these episodes, and it's almost like somebody's kind of partially choking you all throughout the night.
Some people enjoy that.
While awake, though.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, Saturday.
Usually while awake. Yeah. Saturday, don't forget.
You enjoy it to a point.
Right. You don't want
That's right.
You don't want to be choked.
Absolutely. So if you're not getting oxygen in, you're not breathing. If you've got a kink in your hose, you're not getting enough oxygen. Mm. And your body needs oxygen. Your brain needs oxygen. Your heart's job is to get oxygen to the brain and to the body. And so all of your systems kind of start to panic if you're not getting the oxygen that you need. Think about being held underwater at the bottom of the pool. Maybe someone's holding you down underwater, or maybe you go back to your high school days if you were picked on like I was and you got, you know, down in the toilet. Aww. Or something like that. You know?
Maybe our therapist can see more.
So, I mean, what happens? You panic.
Yeah.
You know,
your body releases cortisol and adrenaline.
Huge.
And all these things that don't let you relax. And so when I'm trying to explain to patients about sleep apnea, the very first thing that the wives often say is, he has no trouble sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to explain to them that that's right. He probably goes to sleep 3 seconds after his head hits the pillow.
Right away.
Because that's exactly what happens with sleep apnea.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And that's something that people sometimes don't recognize. And snoring happens often, but not always.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of urologic symptoms, what are some of the things that you see very commonly? And then I'll kind of add whatever I heard.
Yeah, you know, really commonly, one of the common things we see is patients say they get up 6-7 times a night to go pee.
Mm-hmm.
So nocturia. They're waking up frequently because they have to pee. We know that as you're struggling for oxygen, it creates intrathoracic pressure, causes the heart to release peptides. All of this acts on the bladder. And so these patients, a lot of times they come in, they're like, well, I think it's my prostate. But really, it's the sleep apnea. And
that's
once they're treated, you put a CPAP on them or an appliance, and all of a sudden they come back and they're like, you know, I'm not waking up to pee anymore. You know, so that's a very common one that we see. The other one, there's a lot of men's health issues. There's the low testosterone, decrease in, you know, erectile dysfunction, decrease in erection strength, things like that that happen in association with that as well. Loss of libido. A lot of those sexual function type things are happening as well.
And fatigue.
And then fatigue.
And you're tired.
You're tired.
You know, and you're tired.
Mm-hmm.
And you may not even recognize that. And I think that one of the most dramatic things that I've heard consistently is those with sleep apnea who are appropriately treated often improve their weight loss plans too.
100%. Yeah. So all the hormones that control appetite, hunger, weight loss, all that, you know, those are active during the nighttime hours as well. And if that's getting disrupted, you don't have the energy you need to work out. You're not eating properly. Everything's thrown off. So once you start getting treated for sleep apnea, you'll see patients that lose weight quicker, faster, maintain their weight better, maintain their hormone balance better, whether it's diabetes or testosterone or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. So from our end, from your urologic standpoint, we come at it from the opposite way. So we're not looking for things that are going to be cured by fixing your obstructive sleep apnea, but rather, why are you coming to see me in the first place? So if you're getting up 4 or 5 times a night to pee, and it's small volume urination,
mm-hmm.
It's unlikely that your prostate is causing that. Once or twice or 3 times maybe, but 4, 5, 6 times, there's going to be something else. A lot of times guys come to us seeking testosterone therapy for fatigue,
mm-hmm.
and they're 280 pounds, 5'10", have a neck the size of a bowling ball, and I immediately know that this guy has sleep apnea. And I'll ask him, have you been told you have sleep apnea? And they'll say, oftentimes they'll say, I was referred for testing, or I was diagnosed, or this, but I don't treat it.
Mm-hmm.
And it really raises a big conundrum for us.
Yeah, yeah. And ignorance is bliss, right? You know, a lot of times patients are afraid of finding out what they might have because they're mm-hmm. afraid of what the treatment might be or whether or not they can do it, or they'd rather just not know. You know, a lot of patients have sleep apnea. They don't know they have it, you mm-hmm. know.
And they don't want to go off site. They think they have to sleep somewhere.
They think
strange.
They got to go to a lab.
That's right.
But, yeah.
That's the biggest component, I think, for a lot of guys.
You know, what's interesting is that this whole idea of how we treat and test for sleep apnea really has gone through a real evolution in the medical profession. There are cardiologists that do obstructive sleep apnea. There are pulmonary doctors that do it. There are primary care doctors that do it. And they all take it from a different angle in terms of what they're really focused on. To me, it seems very natural that a dentist, if this is an oral issue, a dentist would be would be somebody that would be involved with it. And especially since a lot of times the conversations that you'll have with a patient in the dentist chair maybe a little longer, so you might be able to kind of delve into these issues better. Have you found it to be a pretty natural fit?
Yeah, it's a very natural fit for us in general dentistry. We see patients, you know, every 6 months at a minimum. We spend an hour with them in the chair. We're looking down the back of their, in their mouth, down the back of their throat. You spend a lot of time looking in people's shorts. We we spend more time in the mouth.
Do you?
Opposite ends of the spectrum. And
sometimes they fit together.
And so we can see.
Although there are some dentists.
And so we can see. We can see what's going on in the back of the throat, and we can see when somebody has a small airway. And there's also oral side effects. We mentioned a lot of the urology side effects in terms of low T and erectile dysfunction and nocturia and those types of things. We see clenching, grinding, broken teeth, acid erosion on teeth, all things that are correlated with sleep apnea.
So a lot of people are concerned that they're going to be tested for in some strange room. That they have to go sleep outside of their house.
Being monitored overnight.
Being monitored overnight.
By some creepy person in another room.
Wait, can I sign up for that
one? There's a party right there.
In our practice, we do at-home sleep testing. Maybe you can describe what that is, what involves for patients.
Yeah, it's so much more affordable for patients. It's more convenient for patients. You get to do it in your own bed. It's a belt that fits around your chest, a little finger sensor that goes on your finger. Push a little button, and then you go to bed. And then the next morning, you bring it back. You're able to upload the information, send the data off to a sleep doctor. So you know, no longer do you have to go to a lab, spend the night, hook up to 27 different wires, have the strange person watching you from the next room. It's just really much more convenient.
And it's covered by insurance.
It is covered by insurance, especially if we find it to be something that is indicated.
Yeah, and in fact, most insurance companies nowadays are mandating a home test prior to doing a lab test or an overnight test because it's more effective and more affordable.
More natural, more affordable.
Yeah.
Oh. Patients are concerned, number one, they don't properly recognize what might be symptoms of OSA. We talked about that in the previous segment. And if you missed it, catch it on our podcast. Second, we talked about patients are concerned about the testing. But I think the biggest concern is that they're afraid that they're going to be saddled with a CPAP. Maybe you could describe what a CPAP is and maybe why compliance rates are not as high as people would hope they are.
CPAPs, first of all, are an incredible device, and they're very, very, very effective tool for managing obstructive sleep apnea. Essentially, it's a leaf blower. And that's kind of what I tell my patients. It's a box that sits on your nightstand. They're smaller now, quieter now. And they're hooked up to a hose and a mask, and you wear the mask on your face or on your nose, and this machine is going to blow air through the hose into your mouth and down the back of your airway at a high enough pressure that it keeps it open. You know, going back to our garden hose analogy, you could turn to get past the kink, you could just keep turning up your water pressure until you blow through the kink with enough water pressure. And that's kind of what it is, except it's air pressure.
And maybe in a future episode, we might discuss kind of CPAP technology and how to maximize it. Needless to say, a lot of my patients have been given CPAPs.
They don't
use them. They're scared of even having the thought of maybe even having to use it.
Yeah.
And so specifically, you specialize in using a dental appliance.
Correct. So we use a dental appliance that essentially holds the jaw together in a forward position and doesn't allow that kink to happen in the first place. So it's more of a mechanical option, and it fits to the teeth, to the jaw, holds it open. And it's an alternative to CPAP for patients that really are not consistently wearing their CPAP. The number of patients that wear their CPAP every night, if you had to guess, do you know the number?
I would guess it's probably less than 20%.
Yeah, it's depending on what study you read, it's in the 30 percentile range of people that are wearing it every night, and they do really well with it. The rest of the people don't like it for whatever reason. It's a hassle. They get facial irritations. It's bulky. It's hard
to travel.
They sleep on their stomach. So every time they turn, they get a leak and the air comes out. It's not really sexy if you're trying to, you know,
going back to
what we talked about at the beginning of the segment.
Hey, babe, let me put my seatbelt on.
Yeah, so
I'll be with you in a minute.
So there's a lot of reasons why people don't like it. it. It just doesn't work for everybody. And so for those patients, or for patients that maybe are more mild and CPAP is overkill, the dental device is a great option, works really well. Patients tend to be more compliant with it. The rate of compliance is more like 80% compared to 30%.
I have to do a shout out. My husband went through this process with y'all, and he brought home the little sleep thing, and he got a CPAP, but it kind of freaked him out in the middle of the night. But he had the oral appliance, and his snoring went down by like 90%.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's sleeping better. He feels better. So
yeah, great. Awesome. Hey, you're welcome. Thank you.
We can sleep in the same room now. It's awesome.
And he didn't pay at all for that?
Insurance covered it.
No, Hedgecock couldn't pay at all, us at all for that. This is the worst show.
Oops.
Man.
But my husband doesn't snore that much anymore.
That's awesome. Why would a specially fitted by a dentist appliance be better than the one I can buy off Amazon?
Well, oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a great question. First of all, they're more effective. Fitted. It's fitted. It's a custom fitted device. The ones off Amazon tend to be bulky. They tend not to be retained very well. They tend to fall out easily. And they may or may not be able to position the jaw as far forward as it needs to be positioned.
Because they don't know what your mouth looks like.
They don't. Exactly. So you're buying it, they're one size fits all. It's kind of like
a terrible idea.
Boil it in the water, and then you hope it works. And it may work for some people, but it may not for others. Versus something that's custom fitted, it's made to fit your teeth, and then it gives us a little more control. If you need to be a millimeter forward, we can move you a millimeter forward. If you need to be 5, we can move you 5. If you need to be 2.3 millimeters forward, we can move you 2.3 millimeters forward.
It's a great point you're making, which is that after you get treated, whether it be a CPAP or a dental appliance or weight loss or whatever mechanism you're going to use, you need to get tested again.
Absolutely. We got to make sure it's working. You know, we can't just say, you know, patients will say, well, I lost 30 pounds. I don't snore anymore. And the question is, well, are the apneas gone?
Right. You know, did we fix the choking? What does a fitting look like to a patient?
You know, in our office, we use digital scans these days. So you don't even have to get the gooey impression material, like if you think back to your braces. Yeah, so we do digital scans. So a little video camera in the mouth takes pictures of the teeth. We send that off to the lab. They make it. So it's a 2-appointment process to get your device. You come in. First of all, we got to check your teeth, make sure everything's stable enough to support a device. We send that off. You come back. We're going to fit it and make sure it's fitting properly, make sure it's adjusted properly. And then we're going to kind of coach you through how to adjust it, using it, making sure it's working, what to look for, signs and symptoms. And we're looking for less snoring, more refreshing sleep. A lot of times the bed partner is not elbowing them anymore, or they're back in the same room because the noise is gone and that kind
of
stuff.
Or when you go on a Cub Scouting camp out, you don't have to bring a 14-pound battery along with your CPAP machine.
For sure.
As one of my tent mates did recently.
I travel a lot, and I see people at the airport. They're always taking their CPAP out, and I just slide them a business card.
That's nice. Yeah. That's nice. That's a good idea. So let's talk about insurance coverage. So if somebody does have insurance, somebody doesn't, give me your spiel on this, and what does it cost if you don't have insurance?
Yeah, it completely depends on the plan. If you have insurance, your insurance may cover the whole thing. You may not have to pay anything out of pocket, depending on deductibles and copays. And I know everybody's got high deductibles these days. If you don't have insurance, we've got a discounted cash fee. We can break it up into payments. It's $2,500 or so for the device, but that device is warrantied for at least 5 years. So you're going to get minimum 5 years use out of it. And it's going to last you.
Because your teeth change and your mouth changes.
Teeth change, mouth changes. But CPAPs too. You know, CPAPs have to get replaced, and masks and hoses and all that gets expensive over time.
What about Medicare patients?
Medicare, this is covered by Medicare, for sure.
And I think that would be a dramatic surprise to a lot of patients.
Well, they know it works. Medicare wouldn't cover it if it didn't work, and if treating it didn't save Medicare money, they wouldn't cover it.
Good point.
Well, that's amazing. Well, Brandon, I can't thank you enough for joining us today. Can you tell people how to get a hold of you?
SleepBetterAustin.com. You can go to our website, find all the information you need there.
Awesome.
Donna, you want to do a quick shout out to us, even though we're over time?
Call us at 512-238-0762. Send your emails to armormenshealth@gmail.com. Thanks. See you in a bit.
The Armour Men's Health Hour is brought to you by urology specialists. For questions or to schedule an appointment, please call 512-238-0762 or online at armormenshealth.com.